times are changing. If you have any age on you at all, you are no longer living in the world in which you grew up in. And for some reason, the older we become, the more difficult of a time we have accepting and embracing the new reality of where we are. The world in which I grew up in is long gone. And the world in which my children will be raised today and, Lord willing, tomorrow is far different than the days that I grew up. I remember growing up in a time where things were simple. I remember growing up in a time where even those of the world, at least to a certain degree, were somewhat godly and respectful, had some type of a standard for morality, and had some type of a spiritual life. Matter of fact, our local school district, when school was over with on Wednesday afternoon, closed the doors and locked up, and everybody went home. There were no school activities on Wednesday night. That was the Lord's time. You wouldn't dare find anyone there, not even the janitor, on a Sunday. But now there's an activity every Wednesday night. And if you'll find your local school's calendar, you will discover there are activities nearly every Lord's Day. So the question comes to mind, if our children are going to be raised in a different world, what are we going to do to guard and protect them? The psalmist tells us in the 127th Psalm, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." And since children are a heritage from the Lord, we have a responsibility to make sure that we raise them, train them, and that we instill within them a spiritual life. And it's important, because if we lose this battle, if we lose one generation, we've lost the Lord's church in this country. We need to do everything that we can to make sure that we protect and train and guard our children. I want to offer you just a handful of pieces of advice from Scripture that I think will help in our task of protecting our children as we raise them and as we train them. Number one, provide a godly home for your children to be raised in. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And so I ask the question, fathers, where are you? And how are you doing? Do you realize it's your responsibility before you put your little ones to bed at night to gather them up and to read unto them Scripture and Bible stories? Do you realize it's your responsibility to train them and to teach them and to mold them into the people that they need to be? Are you putting first things first? Because we tend to do the things that we want to do. We never have time for anything, yet we always have time to prioritize what it is that we want to be involved in. And so do we train from a young child, our children, to be godly and spiritually minded? The proverb author reminds us in chapter 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What type of spiritual training and education do we have in our homes? Are we teaching our children to love God? Because that's really the essence of what the Old Testament taught, and it's echoed throughout the New. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses would say, beginning at verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." And then he goes on to give a big, long list of ways that we are to teach our children. Whenever we sit down, we are to teach them. Whenever we rise up, we are to teach them. Whenever we walk on the way, we are to teach them. We're to put it on the door. We're to put it on the gate. We're to remind our children constantly about God and the world in which we're living in. So are we training and teaching our children to love God? Because to a Jew, Judaism was not just something that they did. It was who they were. And for us today, as God's children, as Christians, Christianity is not something that we do on Sunday or the Lord's Day, but it's who we are. It affects everything. So Christianity is not a part of our life, it's our entire life. And where we work and where we live and the things that we're involved in, or we do those things because we are Christians. Maybe we have a job opportunity that would pay us double or triple, but we have to move a long way away from a faithful congregation. Or maybe there's very few congregations. What decision do we make? Especially if we have children at home. I would hope and pray that you would seek a job or seek employment somewhere where there's a strong, faithful congregation. or several strong, faithful congregations so that you can associate with brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember right before the parable of the Good Samaritan in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was asked the question by a lawyer what one needed to do to obtain eternal life. And of course, Jesus asked, well, what does the book say, or what does the law say? And the lawyer reiterated what was found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, words that our Lord repeated as well in the other gospel accounts. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so are we teaching our children to love God? And are we setting the proper example before them? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The Revised Standard Version says bad company ruins good morals, or it might be what your mother's version is, bad company ruins good morals. And I wonder what type of example mom and dad we are setting at home concerning our children. How do we speak of people after we leave services and we get in the car? What do we say about others in our home? Do we teach our children on Sunday to be honest and truthful and fair and respectful, and then do the opposite at home Monday through Saturday? Because they're going to learn by what you do more than what you say. And it's critical that we set an example, a godly example, before our children. Point number two, if we're going to guard and protect our children and their spiritual faith, teach them the Word of God. Notice what Paul has to say concerning the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. He says in that, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. When was Timothy made known of the Scriptures, the very Scriptures that had the ability to save his soul? Was it when he was old enough to understand them? Maybe when he was 10, or perhaps he was 12 or 16, or about the time he was 18 and ready to leave home. Does the author say that was the time to teach the Scriptures? No. From a child, Timothy was taught the Scriptures. Why? Because they're able to make one wise to salvation through Jesus Christ. It's from a child that we teach our children. Read to them in your mother's womb. Read to them when they're a newborn baby. Teach them and explain unto them Bible stories as they grow, and look for opportunities. The proverb author says in chapter 1 of verse 7, fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do our children have knowledge concerning the Scriptures? Not only should you teach them the Scriptures, they should know how to study the Scriptures. And yes, there is a difference between just reading and studying. Notice what Hosea has to say in chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now, that last part of that verse right there really resonates with me. First of all, he says that my people are destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge. But in the end, he tells us that because they have forgotten the law of God, he's going to forget their children. If we don't read and study the Word of God, our children are not going to read and study the Word of God. If we don't teach them how to look up words and how to ask questions like, what is the big picture of this book? Then they're never going to understand it. I'm amazed if a 6 or 7 year old child can tell you the 25 man roster of their favorite professional baseball team, they ought to be able to tell you who the 12 disciples are. They ought to be able to tell you who the 27 books of the New Testament are, and even tell you what they're about, because I guarantee you they can tell you the starting nine and the batting average and who's on a hot streak and who's not and who's in contention for Rookie of the Year or MVP or Cy Young or anything like that. And if they can do all of that, or tell you vividly about the playoff game that their favorite NFL team played in, it was the first time in 10 years last fall, they can tell you something about the Scripture. But somehow we don't put an emphasis on that, probably like we should. Number three, take your children to worship. You have a wonderful opportunity in the next 5 days to take your children to worship. We know that there's a command to worship in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We know about Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the responsibilities we have on the first day of the week. But what about worship? What about gospel meetings like this? What about gospel meetings in your home congregation? What about every time your doors are open? What about neighboring congregations when they hold meetings? Do we attend them? Do we take our children there? Because we take them to every activity under the sun that we can possibly take them to. We go to the county fair, we go to the circus, we go to whatever might be in town. We drive to the zoo, to the wildlife park, we take vacation. We plan things that are fun for our children to be involved in. But what about worship? Do we plan to take our children for worship? And do we encourage them to look forward to worship? David said in Psalm 122 verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are we glad when it's time to go to the Lord's house? Do we look forward to Lord's Day morning and afternoon and midweek and gospel meetings? We live in an area right here, and if I counted right, we have about 14 or 15 congregations within an hour's drive of Springfield, Missouri. We have several hundred Christians right here. You know what that means? That means every time one of our neighboring congregations has a meeting, and from about Memorial Day to Labor Day, with few exceptions, you can just about find one going on in this area, we should have standing room only crowds. But we don't. You know what we have? We have the same 40 people showing up over and over and over, and most of them are elderly. You know what's missing from the crowds? Our young families and their children. Because they're across the road over here at the baseball game, or they're at the movie theater, or they're at wherever it is that they want to be, and they're not at the Lord's house. And if we're not training and teaching our children, it's a privilege to go to church, they're not going to want to go. We should speak highly of the church. One last point. If we're going to protect our children, we need to guard their media activity. And I'm going to confess unto you right now in the last few minutes, I'm not the one really to preach on this because I don't understand technology very well. And I definitely don't understand all the social media stuff. But I do know this. Paul teaches in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that we should not be conformed to the world, but instead we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I know that television, movies, Facebook, social media, whatever popular thing that's out there today, video games, although there are a lot of really good things that can come of that, there are several really bad things that can come of that. I had a young Christian girl a couple of years ago send me a message over Facebook. By the way, if you send me a message on Facebook and you don't hear anything from me in a couple of weeks, it's because I didn't realize I had it. But she sent me a message and asked if I would study with a young man. And I said, sure, I'll study with anyone that's willing to study. And so she passed along the information, and I got in touch with him. He lived in another state a long ways away. He was about 10 years older than the 16-year-old girl. And it took me about 120 seconds to figure out he had no interest in studying the scripture whatsoever, but he had very high interest in meeting this young girl. And those stories abound over and over and over. It may seem archaic to know what your children are doing with their cell phones and their smart devices and their social media accounts. And they may scream bloody murder and cry foul, but that doesn't matter. It's your job to protect them. And we live in a dangerous world. And you need to make sure that you're doing all that you can to protect them. Now, I understand that we cannot shelter our children from everything, but we do have a responsibility to make sure that we're teaching them first things first and prioritizing their spiritual life. Thank you.